This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community. Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture, Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12, on Joy 94.9.
You are on Christmas Mag on Joy 94.9.
Hey, Martin.
Macca and Hi, Paul. And Joy President Melinda Rich. Christmas. Mel, we've now got our next guest, which is, I fondly refer to Martin Foley as the Minister for Everything. Good morning, Martin. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Macca.
Good to hear.
How are you?
Good to hear.
To this evening.
And tell me, geographically, generally, where are you at the moment?
Geographically, generally, I'm in the sunny Elwood precinct at the moment.
Ah, lovely spot.
Down right. By the beach.
No, that's the same.
I've been down the beach with the dog, and I forgot it was no leash dog going to be on leash, so don't tell the council. No.
Well, in Elwood, actually, have you seen Senator Bridget McKenzie, the deputy leader of the National Party? She lives in Elwood. She doesn't live in.
I have seen her, but not today. And I must admit, I fear about the ducks on the Elwood Canal.
Oh, yes.
What did Roy and HG call Senator McKenzie the other night on the ABC? Bang, bang, Bridget McKenzie.
Bang, bang, yeah. Bang, bang, Bridget. Is there any truth in the rumour that her flat or unit in Elwood is disguised as a hay shed?
I could neither confirm nor deny.
Anyway, that's enough little naughtiness from me. First off, Martin, I want to thank you. During the year, you've made yourself available to us so many times on a Saturday morning when you've got all sorts of commitments, family commitments, electorate commitments, and we really appreciate that. But also today, Christmas Day, you know, a very... We all hold this day to be pretty precious. We just spoke to your colleague, Dick Wynne, who's still a bit cranky that you've got the Pride Centre and he hasn't. But he's given some time today. For you, it's a family day and some other things happening, Martin?
Yes, it is. So my family's kind of spread to the four corners of the globe, and today we're getting together at my place. So that'll be a good thing.
That'll be nice. And, look, you couldn't hope for better weather. We've touched on earlier, you know, for today is a day where a lot of people, you know, aren't in as fortunate position as us. They may not have something to eat. They may not have somewhere to live. You know, they might be having all sorts of challenging health issues. And I encourage people to think about those people today as a state government. And I know councils are doing a lot to try and assist these people and help them into, at least today, you know, in terms of Christmas Day, make sure they're fed. But it's for you, Martin, I know that you work your electorate pretty hard, and as Minister for Equality and a number of other portfolios, you work pretty hard on trying to fill those gaps. Do you think... You know, we are getting closer to filling some of those gaps, or is, you know, I sometimes think the gap's a bit large to fill. But are we making headway?
Look, Macca, you've touched on some really, really important points about what kind of a community we want to be and aspire to be. And despite the enormous amount of wealth and creativity in our community, there are still far too many, and sadly a growing number as our population grows, of people who are excluded from that. Whether it's, as Richard was talking about, the people at St Mary's House of Welcome, generally older people down in that neck of the woods, but increasingly younger people, people cut off from family, people cut off from community, alcohol and drug addiction, mental health problems. We've got more and more people across our society who fall under that category of being isolated and cut off. And this time of the year, more than just remembering, that and pondering on it, maybe it's an opportunity to redouble our efforts as governments, as communities, where we all do an enormous amount, yet the gap still seems to grow. So in that regard, today is a day to ponder and to reflect on many achievements, but also how far we've still got to go to be a truly inclusive and equal society.
And look, it is a challenge, Martin. I'm glad. Well, you know, I'm pleased to hear, you know, that you acknowledge that there is still a lot of work to do. Too often we hear that, you know, we're on this and it's all happening and it's all good. It's not all good. You know, as I was walking to the station this morning, I passed five homeless people. And I don't know whether I've told you this before, Martin. A few months ago, a homeless guy that I would often see on a Saturday morning, and he asked me, you know, to give him some money. And I said, to be honest, mate, I said, I actually don't carry cash. Anyway, he pulled out of his pocket, I don't know the right term. What's the right term, Paul?
You know, electronic EFT.
Yeah, an EFT,
funds,
EFT electronic machine.
Funds transfer machine.
And he said, you can tap and go. $5 or $10. And I said, well, how do I know it's you? And he said, what will happen is if you tap your card, he said, you will get an SMS message from your card provider asking you just to respond yes to verify. Anyway, I acknowledge, I know it's a lot of people have a different view. I gave him $10 because I thought, this is great initiative.
That's entrepreneurship.
Right? But again, you know, this morning and he was there again. I passed five people in the short block and a half from where I parked who were sleeping on the footpath on Christmas Day. And, you know, just up the street, the Selvos, you know, their cafe, will be doing a lot on Christmas Day, as will other organisations and institutions. But there's a big gap still, isn't there?
There's a massive gap. And whilst we can rightly point to all sorts of measures of success, what you've just hit on there is a really challenging, complex set of issues. How does one of the richest societies on the globe have this as a outcome where on, you know, at the streets of our big cities, and it's in the suburbs and it's in the regions as well, we have a situation where that kind of disadvantage can be allowed to continue? How is it that the cost of housing, how is it that support for mental health systems, how is it that our employment system, our education system, whatever the various pathways into people's life journeys that ends up there, how is it that there isn't interventions early enough that wrap people around in whatever the particular need of support they have to get them back into main civic stream of society? And it's a problem that's bedeviled us for some time, but it should not stop us from looking at new and different ways to tackle that. I'm confident that, you know, there's enough resolve and now enough political and social license behind,
I think so,
a re-elected Andrews government to really seriously chase some of these problems.
Massive mandate from the last election for diversity and inclusion and equality and a civilised society.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, no more so than in the LGBTIQ community, where there were conscious attempts to demonise particularly trans communities and trans kids for cheap political purpose, and to see that resoundingly defeated does at least fill me with some hope that the direction of what you just touched on, a civilised society, is where we're going to end up.
I remember after the, you know, after the election and the win, Martin, and you know, that, you know, you'd said, there's a lot of work to do. We still got to do it. And, you know, a lot of unfinished business. You know, you've got 4 years ahead of you to achieve some of these things. What are the one or two or three things that you, as not just the local member for Albert Park, but, you know, as a minister in the government, that you want to achieve for Victorians over the next 4 years?
challenge that I think the government is setting itself based on the election result in the social policy area is how can we reform and rebuild our mental health system into a genuine system rather than a series of unconnected services that see so many people fall into gaps between those services, whether it's in the community sector, whether it's in the acute hospital sector, whether it's in the forensic sector. We have these really dedicated groups of people working in them, yet the people in that system fall between far too many cracks, and we see the bad results of that on the streets of Melbourne this morning, Becca.
Yeah.
You know, perhaps you may have passed by.
Yeah.
How can we have a really serious look at our mental health system through the Royal Commission that will get up and running by March, and use that as a serious community conversation about dealing with stigma, discrimination, social attitudes towards mental health, what's needed to rebuild our mental health system, and then what's needed to fund and organise it in a way that a generation ago, with great expectation, we got rid of the institutionalised asylum-based care for people in the mental health system, yet we failed to replace it with a system that is genuinely inclusive and genuinely builds people. At the same time, we've seen demands on the mental health system skyrocket, and you know, the worst possible measure of those is increasing numbers of suicides that we see across our community.
Mm.
So that to me is the biggest social and community challenge that the government has set itself, and one that I will use every day to pursue successful outcomes from.
Because people are infrastructure as well.
Exactly.
And, you know, we need to rebuild the services, build better services for those people. So that's mental health. Martin, I agree with you on that. The Royal Commission is going to be very, very important. What else?
This was work that was started earlier this year, but in the LGBTI equality space, how can we embed in all of what government does a recognition that every aspect of what government is meant to deliver is to build an inclusive, fairer, broad acceptance and embracing of diversity, and how it's a strength in our community, in our economy, in our society? How can we embed every aspect of in what government does and a lens that looks to how can we improve the lot of our LGBTI community in education, in the justice system, in the correction system, in the health system, and through that embed the notion that Victoria's LGBTI community is as worthy and as necessary a part of a successful, diverse community as any other part of a rich array of an inclusive, stronger, fairer Victoria.
Well, I've got a suggestion.
Yep.
I think go back to the same-sex relationships bill.
Yep.
Introduced by the minority BRACS government, and how that changed, if memory serves me right, 42 or 43 pieces of legislation.
I think that's about right, yep.
Let's go back to that position and revisit that. And I think it's going to need an audit of all the acts and all the regulations again, you know, because that's what provides the structure for state services and services that receive funding. That's really important. I know it's an old walnut I'll bring up. If you get money from government and you discriminate against people, guess what? You shouldn't get any government money. Pretty simple. I know that's a... not everyone's going to agree with me. But that's all right.
You can always have a wish list of Christmas presents, Maka.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. And the absolute commitment we've made is that the various bills we made that were defeated by one vote in 2016, we will reintroduce.
Good.
That goes to the rights of trans and gender diverse people around birth certificates. It goes to the amendments to the Human Rights and Equal Opportunity Act about inherent requirements to remove discrimination in employment against LGBTIQ people. A little bit more complicated by we don't know what's happening with this federal bill, but back at the point you make is that every aspect of what government does needs to be continually reviewed.
It does.
To make sure that the changing attitudes, the evolving landscape of what we identify as discrimination, what we identify as stigma against LGBTIQ people, is constantly reviewed.
It's got to stop.
And not only does it got to stop, we've got to build a counter-narrative around celebration and the strength of diversity. And it's an enriching part of our community. And that's still a journey that we're on the way towards. And that's why I hope that programs like both the Pride Centre, the physical place, as well as the program and the digital space that the Pride Centre will build, will hold Melbourne and Victoria up as a global exemplar of the celebratory side of diversity.
Martin, thank you. We're running out of time.
We are running out of time.
I want to say thank you so much for your support, particularly of Joy in the LGBTI community and your advocacy on our behalf and all the great work you're doing in government.
No worries at all. Well, best wishes for a successful 2019 to all the Joysters, and we'll see you on the other side.
Thank you so
much.
Martin.
Thanks
for your time.
Martin, Merry Christmas.
And everything, Martin. Have a great day.
No worries. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Cheers.
Hi, this is John Borghetti, the CEO of Virgin Australia. Just like Joy 94.9, we are flying high and proud.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.